Let us pray. O God of our ancestors, we long to hear your word in fresh ways. Open our eyes to the dawn of new possibilities. Move us towards eager anticipation of Christ's coming, filling us with expectation and hope. Amen. Have you ever seen those videos, people walking through a crowded train station, music starts up, and ordinary people scattered throughout start to dance? First one, then two, moment by moment, the group grows and totally becomes coordinated. A similar version takes place in a mall food court during Christmas shopping. A young woman on a cell phone starts singing the opening phrase of Handel's Hallelujah Chorus in a strong, well-trained soprano voice. She too is joined by one, then three, and then 100 other singers who've been sitting incognito dressed as other shoppers, sales staff, and even maintenance people. Along with the looks of delight and surprise, there are looks of confusion and disbelief, especially on the faces of the children. Even toddlers know that this sort of thing is not supposed to happen when you go to the mall. The reality is that while people enjoy being entertained, some will be delighted and some will feel rattled because the unexpected has happened. The unexpected is not something we associate with God or the worship of God. In churches, we like the image of the mountain of God portrayed in Isaiah. Something firm, something strong, solid, still, steadfast, enduring, predictable. Let's face it, we church types use heavy furniture that we prefer to bolt down so it can't be moved. And that's where we tend to anchor our yearning and our hope. But then along comes Jesus, teaching the people of faith benefit from flexibility, agility, the ability to go with the flow. Jesus called to mind the time of Noah and the ark and reminded listeners that ordinary people were living ordinary lives, eating, drinking, working, marrying. But they had this crazy neighbor Noah, who built a huge boat. Now there wasn't a drop of rain, not a cloud in the sky. Yet Noah faithfully started building an ark to carry those who would listen to safety. Then God acted, and as Jesus says, many knew nothing until the flood came and swept them away. In the gospel, Jesus uses three images for God's actions in the world: a flood, a kidnapper, and a thief in the night. Three images from real life that are unsettling to us. Think about what these images have in common. They each bring about cataclysmic changes that come on suddenly. They're unexpected, unwanted, and violating events. But these events are also non-differentiating. They happen regardless of race or gender, even species. These are events when we have no control over our destiny. As our call to worship put it, when established patterns collapse into the uncertainty of the unknown and security dissolves into a memory, that is when we are in a journey with God, a journey onward, elusive, and never in our grasp. When we are sandwiched between what was and what could be of our dreams, that is where hope lives. Jesus teaches his followers to expect the unexpected. Get ready to move with the Spirit of God when the Spirit blows through. Jesus tells of two similar people doing the same job in the same place at the same time. Only one will be taken and one will be left behind. And in this story, we need to be honestly considering what we would hope for. There's something desirable about being left alone to live your life as you've always known it. But what if the one taken up is the one being brought into a closer relationship with God? Many believe that being more nimble and open, the one taken up is being caught up in the wind of God's Spirit and will become part of God's new creation. The one left desperately clings to the old, rigidly holding on to the way things have always been. When we think about hope, we dream of peace and tranquility and ease. Yet hope invites us to a journey that's elusive and beckoning onward, never in our grasp. As I reflected on the responses from last week's congregational visioning exercise, I was made very aware of the sandwich of hope that we're in right now. Some of us want to get to the desired shore and get there yesterday. And some of us don't know why we're even on the journey to start with. And most of us are sandwiched in the middle. But the why of our current journey is pretty clear to me. As three separate churches, each was struggling with declining attendance, declining finances, and everyone was finding it hard to cultivate the vitality necessary to ensure a sustainable future. I'm not sure about the extent to which the members in the three congregations were aware of these challenges, but I believe that all three churches had them. So like Noah, the church leaders, the ministers, and the boards set out to find a means to new life, and they discerned that the ark to carry people of faith to new life, in this instance, was an amalgamation. Now, I wasn't there, so I'm not sure if they had seen the rain clouds forming, or whether the light drizzle had already started. But I do know that across the church, we're aging, we're declining in number, and we're increasingly finding it hard to upkeep the real estate that's becoming burdensome. Established patterns are collapsing, so I am certain that your leaders made a faithful and accurate call. Now, my more cynical colleagues will tell you that if anyone comes looking for the churches of the 1960s, we're ready for them. But you know, now we're more than halfway to 2060. So maybe we need to have new hopes and new dreams and new visions. When I look at last week's responses, the majority of people who worship here seem to be enjoying the sense of community and fellowship that working and worshiping with more people brings. And we're experiencing loss to varying degrees in a variety of ways and finding that challenging and upsetting. And all this means that we're very normal human beings who don't like loss or change. Beyond the diversity for healthy relationships, the values that emerged from our discussions involved good music, strong outreach to the community, as well as a desire for more youth and young families, and an embracing of diversity. Overwhelmingly, we heard the desire for a name to be decided upon. At present, that seems to be the greatest hope of this faith community. The transition has heard you. The transition team has heard you. And we're starting the process with many conversations which will happen throughout the next coming months. And we hope they'll culminate in an annual general meeting in February or March with a conclusive congregational vote. Now, to be clear, a new name will be a community decision, not the transition teams or the boards. The transition team will ensure that whatever process we use will be fair and will allow for all voices to be heard, just like we did at the visioning meeting last Sunday. I want to tell you a little bit about the work we've already done. So we've analyzed the church names across the United Church, and we've concluded that the names of United Church congregations are pretty geography or place-bound. More than 60% have street or neighborhood or town names in them, like Second Street United Church. And then many churches have used biblical names or historical Christian names like St. Paul's or Olivet. Our Presbyterian friends often like Knox or Calvin, who were Christian leaders of history. But the newer churches that are coming up are using value names instead. Instead of going for the past, they're looking at words that reflect the values they bring to their mission and outreach, and include words like hope or faith. As we heard in our visioning exercise last week, there's so many strong values at play here at New Church, and so many strengths that could be used to attract new people to us. The other group of names that we've been thinking about were indigenous words, because some of us have a great interest in helping with the reconciliation of our Indigenous brothers and sisters. Now, as we set out on this process, my hope is that we can agree on a name that speaks to all of us in some important way, that it would reflect, ideally, a shared vision of hopes and values and dreams of the new entity that is being created among us, marking the new beginning for a new and truly transforming faith journey. As we journey forward, I believe God is shaping and reshaping New Church to become something different, something new and unique from any one of the three founding churches. Our shared vision will be reflected in our consensual name that we arrive at together. The relationships that we're building with each other and with the world through our outreach activities are strong and vibrant, and regardless of what we call ourselves, we need to maintain those relationships. Embarking on a journey of hope means placing our trust in God, in the God of wisdom and promise. It means praying for the needed courage to travel on, to let go of the things that keep us stuck in the past. May we heed Jesus' warning that God will do whatever it takes, even as shamelessly as a burglar will, resorting to shiftiness, trickery, subterfuge, and disguise. So much so that God snuck a little baby into our midst that no one would ever suspect. But that baby changed and still revolutionizes our world even today. So may we be Jesus people. May we remain nimble and open, those who dare to be taken up, caught up in the wind of God's Spirit, and those open to becoming part of God's new creation. We are called to be Advent people. May we have the courage to live into God's hope. Amen.